We're going to commence our service today with the singing of Psalm 122. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me, Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be, and we'll stand to worship the Lord. When it was in White Abbey, but Mr. Foster wasn't too well and wasn't able to make the journey. So we've asked the Reverend Jim Harton, the newly installed minister of our congregation out at Mount Merriam. We're going to ask the Reverend Harton now to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. Let us each one seek the Lord for a special blessing on this very special day. Let us pray.
Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, it's with joy and with thanksgiving that we approach unto Thee this afternoon in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Redeemer. And we bless Thee, O God, as we draw nigh unto Thee. We have that promise that Thou wilt draw nigh unto us. And, O God, as we think of this great occasion, the opening of this new beautiful building for the preaching of Thy precious Word, we do lift our hearts unto Thee in thanksgiving and prayer for all that the Lord hath done for this congregation. And O God, as we look back over the years, and as our brother prayed in the prayer before the church was opened, that though their beginning was small, yet their latter end is greatly increased. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And O God, we would pray, as in the day when Solomon prayed at the opening of the temple, that when he made an end of praying, the fire fell. And O God, it is our prayer and heart's desire that thou wilt come into our midst today in all thy mighty risen power, that the fire of God might fall on this place and on thy servant that will minister week in and week out. And we would pray that the glory of the Lord will fill the house. And we ask, O God, that thou wilt bless this congregation. We thank thee for it, and for those who have been laboring so faithfully down through the years. And O God, in recent days, who have put their shoulder to the wheel to see that the church was ready for this occasion, we pray that thy blessing will rest and abide upon them. O God, we pray that thou wilt bless in the coming days. Make this house a saving shop, a yard from hell. Amen. O God, may it be the birthplace of many precious souls. Amen. And O God, grant that there be those in glory that will say, such and such was born in that house. Bless the Reverend Cranston, his session and committee. Bless them, Lord, in their deliberations. And O God, as they would seek to have an influence in this corner of the vineyard, that they might know the blessing of the Lord resting and abiding upon them. Undertake for us today. Bless the one that lead the meeting. Bless our brothers who administer in song. The preaching of the gospel. We pray that there might be signs following, even the salvation of precious souls. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen. Amen.
First hymn now in our order of service, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? We'll stand to sing this great hymn.
Thank you.
We are delighted to have with us on our special occasion the Reverend William McRae, minister, of course, of our Macrofelt congregation. We're going to ask the Reverend McRae to come now and bring his first message in song.
Hold on, my brother.
address that message and song to each of our hearts. We are again delighted to have with us Reverend Austin Allen. When I was called to this congregation and accepted that call in 1978, I just followed behind the Reverend Allen. He was the minister then before I came. And it's a great joy to have him with us today. He's also the minister of my home congregation, namely Tandragee. And we're delighted to have the Reverend Allen with us today. He's now coming to read God's Word.
Our scripture reading this afternoon is found in John's Gospel. And we're reading the chapter 14, words uttered by our Savior as he stood under the shadow of the cross. A portion of scripture that I suppose most learnt as children in the Sunday school. Let us hear the word of the Lord. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, and my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world might know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And we know the Lord would bless to our hearts the public reading of his holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Amen.
Gives me great joy on behalf of our Kirk Session Committee and members of our congregation to extend a warm and sincere word of welcome to everyone who has come along this afternoon to this very special occasion in the opening of our new church building. We'd like to extend a word of welcome to some of our ministers from our own congregations. We do thank them for coming. We do welcome the Reverend David Park from Moulton Broad and some of our ministers in the home field, and also the Deputy Moderator, the Reverend S.B. Cook from Armagh. We do welcome each one in the Saviour's precious name. Now, we have received some apologies from ministers who were not able to come, the Reverend David Crane and the Reverend David McElveen. And then this morning, or rather just before the service, I received a telegram from our Toronto church to the Reverend Cranston, members and friends of Newton Abbey Free Presbyterian Church. We would like to extend to you our warmest congratulations on this auspicious occasion, the opening of your new church building. We rejoice with you and feel it is an amazing achievement that you have not only have been able to build this beautiful church building, but also new classrooms for your Christian school. Surely this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." From the Reverend Frank McClelland, members and friends of Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. I would also like to give a special welcome to members of my own family circle and to the members of the family circle of my wife. I'd like to thank them sincerely for coming, and we want them to know that they're most welcome here today. I'd like also to give a special welcome to Mrs. Hutton Sr. Her late husband had a close connection with our White Abbey congregation before we moved out of the village, and ministered there and had a great deal to do with the work in the White Abbey days. We're delighted to have Mrs. Hutton with us today. And we're delighted also to have with us some members of the family circle of one of our founding elders, Mr. John Stewart, the late Mr. John Stewart. Mr. Stewart's family is with us today, and we do thank them also for coming. And we're certainly delighted that they've been able to come and join with us today. I'd like to give a welcome also to the Reverend Tom Shaw, the minister of Ballycraigie, congregational church. And so we welcome everyone today in the Saviour's precious and peerless name. We also received an apology from Mr. Jack Cassidy. Mr. Jack Cassidy is the architect of this building, and because of a prior engagement, he was not able to be with us. And I'm sure you will agree that he certainly did a great job whenever he designed this church building. The congregation was formed and held its first service on the 4th of January 1953. It was held in the old courthouse in White Abbey Village. And really, from then until now, the congregation has never really had a proper church building. From an old courthouse that was converted into a church building, the congregation then moved into Newton Abbey, and with the presbytery's permission, the name of the church was changed from White Abbey to Newton Abbey Free Presbyterian Church. And whenever I received the call and was ordained in this congregation, the congregation was meeting in Mossley Orange Hall. Shortly after we came, we realised, and with the committee and elders realised, that we needed to purchase a plot of ground and erect a new church building. We were able to purchase this plot of ground, made up of almost 2 acres, for about £10,500. And we acquired this little hut over in the left-hand side. It used to be a workman's hut, and we put it up for a mission. And then we decided that after spending so much time and doing so much work to it, that we would just meet there. So we moved from Mossley Orange Hall and began to worship in the little hut across the way. And then in 1983, we opened our Sunday school complex, our minor hall just to my right. It was opened in September 83 at a cost of £80,000, and the building was opened free of debt then. Now, we'd climbed one mountain, and we had to then start climbing a much bigger mountain in building this church. And so we pressed on with the work, and we just built as the money came in. And we got on very well, and then we stopped building for about a year, and the committee met at the beginning of this year, and we set a date to open, and we believed that it was the Lord's will. The Lord gave us a verse that we should go ahead, and we knew that we would go forward in God's will, and we believed it was the Lord's mind and the Lord's time for us to go ahead. So in the month of May, we started to make the final push to get this building opened for the 2nd of September. Dr. Paisley was with us on Wednesday, and he didn't believe me when I said we were opening on the 2nd of September. And there were people arriving today for the service, and the men were still laying down carpet here and there. And I was running about with a screwdriver and a hammer, and I just wasn't properly dressed at all for the occasion. And other men were doing work also. But we have come to this stage. We have now arrived at this great day that this congregation has looked forward to and planned for and prayed for so very long. And I would indeed like to just pay tribute to the congregation and to the members of committee who have laboured with us over these past years. I'd like to thank them for their faithfulness and their giving and their coming and working here, and especially the members of committee who have been in the work really from I came. And they have carried the weight of the burden right up until now, and have stood with us and stood by us. And we'd just like to thank them for all their labours and their faithfulness down through the years. And of course, all who helped us over these past few months gave of their skills, and they gave it voluntarily and made different things for the building. And we'd just like to thank them sincerely for the work that they've done for us here. Now, we had some contractors and subcontractors and all kinds of workers coming and going. But I'd like to just say a special word of thanks to our brother, Mr. James Patterson, and to his father, Alec, and to all his workers who were with them. They're too numerous to mention, and I know I'd only let or leave some of them out, but they know who I mean. And would like to thank them for their faithful work here, and they've really worked hard and put in long hours to get the building finished. Mr. Patterson really was the what we'd call the main contractor. I'd like to also say a special word of thanks to our brother Mr. John Thompson and to his son Ian, who took care of all the electrics. And I don't know how they got it done in time, because just a few weeks ago there were hardly any wires in the place, and yet we had the heating on last night. I'd like to thank John and Ian and the men that work for them for coming and doing so well also. And then I'd like to say a special word of thanks to our brother Mr. James Spears. It's because of our brother that you have a pew to sit on today, because the committee just took a late decision to purchase new pews. And it was a very late decision, and the timber was got to our brother, and I don't know how he got them made on time. I could safely say I'm sure he made all these pews inside about 2 or 3 weeks, and how it was done I just do not know. But I'd like to thank our brother James for his labours and really working hard in order that we might have the pews here on time. He also made the pulpit, by the way, so if you need any pews or pulpits or anything, you know who to go to. Now, of course, you need someone to help to coordinate the work. I know very little about building. I must say I know a lot more now than I used to before the building started. But you need men to coordinate the work. And we must pay tribute to two men in particular, to our brother Mr. John Craig, who is a member of our Kirk session, and our brother, I just don't know what we would have done without him. He had all the contacts and knew who to contact for different things, and he did an awful lot of work here in our new building and of course in the other building as well. And then the other coordinator was our brother Mr. Reuben Kirkland, and he was the one who came along and shouted and gave off and barged and made sure we got the job done. But he did a tremendous job, and I know that he had the work really at heart and he was burdened about it, and he did a tremendous amount of work and worked long hours and made many, many phone calls. And the committee decided that they would like to acknowledge our brother Reuben's labours in some small way. And so I have been asked to make a presentation to our brother Reuben. Now, he doesn't know anything about this. He knew he was coming up here because he said to me a few weeks ago that he would like to come up and just say a wee word on the day. And I said, certainly. So, but he doesn't know about this part of the service. So I'm going to ask our brother Reuben if he would come forward, please. We want to present our brother Reuben here with his gold watch, and it is inscribed on the back, presented to Reuben Kirkland in appreciation of his faithful service in the building of Newton Abbey Free Presbyterian Church, 2nd of September 1989. And Reuben, on behalf of the office bearers and congregation, would like to present to you this watch as a token of our appreciation. So he's a speech to make, and I'll let him make it now.
I wasn't expecting anything at all. I asked Mr. Canson, could I have 2 or 3 minutes to say thank you to all those who worked along with me. Now, I have another main reason why I want to say thanks, but in this gift and token of, I really appreciate it. It's not like really the stuck forward. I have plenty to shout about and give off, as Mr. Cranston has already said. But I do want to say thanks to our church session for the help that they have given me and the committee. They backed me and in every way possible and gave me a free hand. And if I kept them informed, they were quite agreeable to anything we, John or myself, was going to put forward. But I want to thank all who did help, all those who helped voluntarily, all those outside people who don't belong to the church and did things for the church. There's numerous people I wouldn't like to start to mention, honestly. But I do want to say thanks to some people, and I am going to mention their names, and I hope you do understand. I have three friends, young people they are, who come to this church. Now, two of them are still at school, and one is working. Now, I nicknamed them at home Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, simply because I have a Bible name, but my name isn't Daniel either. And the three young men I want to mention are Glenn Cranston and Aaron Cranston and Paul Werner. Now, nobody appreciates the help of these young men more than I do. For 2 years and more, they come here faithfully every Wednesday night and help me to do different jobs. And Newton Abbey is a place where you just don't only take on one project, you take on a couple if possible. And as this church was ongoing, we had a project over the way here, namely the mobile classrooms. Now that was a project, it's not quite completed yet, but these young lads come every Wednesday night. Of course, Mr. Werner come along to help me too every Wednesday night. Especially whenever I was making the pews for the gallery. These were pews which were purchased at a low cost, and we decided to rehouse them. These young men, Aaron and Glenn, Aaron and Paul, come rain, hail, snow, or blow. Many of the night I shook my head and said, they'll not be back next week because I've got a freezing. But they come back, and I have a short fuse. As the saying goes, I would lost the head, but in a few minutes the temper has blown off, and I would have walked and said, well, that's them for next week. But they come, and I come because they come, and they come, hopefully, because I come, and that one encouraged the other. But I have a little presentation to make to these young fellas, because two of them are at school. And it's not very often where you get young people so faithful to help. And I would like to acknowledge them. Now, I've got a gentleman to pick three Bibles. These three Bibles, I asked him specifically to pick them for the use of a young person. In this Bible, obviously it has a Bible margin. Also it has daily readings. McShane's daily readings. It also has a small concordance at the back, and it also has questions and answers on the Bible. And these Bibles were chosen for me, and I really thought they were the last word. I got Mrs. Werner to do the writing on them, and they all say the same thing. And the thing that they say is, the first one is to Glenn Cranston. They all say the same thing in their names. An appreciation for your constant assistance in the 2nd of September 1989, and from myself, Reuben. And I have a little verse, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and verse 15. This chapter is my testimony. And verse 1 encourages you. And it says, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord, the Lord will bless you. And it goes on to say in that chapter how the Lord will bless you. In verse 15, it also has a note of warning. If thou wilt not have, hearken unto the voice of the Lord. So therefore, these verses, the two verses that I have left with them, I would say would keep them between the hedges, in the sense that if they think that they stand, then that's when they'll fail. The Lord has warned them not to think on themselves. But I'm going to do a wee thing further. I'm going to ask Dr. Paisley to present a Bible to each of them. And the first one is to Glenn Cranston.
Glenn, it gives me the greatest possible pleasure to present this copy of the Word of God. Needless to say, it's the authorized version, so you're absolutely safe in my hands.
Aaron Cranston.
Just wondering, Aaron, did you bring a rod every Wednesday night to defend yourself? God bless you, son.
Amen. And Paul Werner.
You bear a good name, Paul. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Reuben, for his words and also for those presentations. As our brother has said, not only did we seek to open this new building for this day, but also we were engaged in putting up 3 new classrooms for our Christian school. Now you can understand that that entailed an awful lot of work and a heavy load for our congregation to carry and men in the congregation to carry. And we certainly do thank them. The classrooms are almost ready, and the children will be meeting in them on Monday morning in the will of the Lord. So we do thank all who have indeed laboured in this work. Now, our overall complex here cost in the region of about £350,000. This church building itself cost about £250,000. And I'd just like again to say a word of thanks to our congregation for their generous giving. We entered into this building program 8 years ago. And you have to listen to a minister every week begging for money for 8 years. You could get very weary of them. But every building fund Sunday, we set ourselves targets, and our average building fund year by year was around £24,000. And that was then our ordinary giving as well. It really meant quite a push this year for us to get finished. And when we met as a committee and set this date for opening, we were wondering what we would set as a target on the opening day. And we decided on £10,000, our offering on the opening day. There were quite a few gasps of unbelief whenever that figure was suggested. But monies have come in, and I just want to run through a list of the gifts that we have already received to start us off today. Received a gift of £100, another of £100, then £80 for 2 chairs in the minister's room. Man came into the church yesterday and gave us £20, and then some money came in on building fund envelope, £60.60, another £80 for 2 chairs, a gift of £5, then a gift of £1,000 to help cover the cost of the recording equipment and PA system. And then a dear person in her congregation decided to go out around her friends and see what she could come up with. And she gave me an envelope yesterday, and this is what was in it, the following gifts. Gift of £5, a gift of £5, a cheque for £500, 2 gifts of £100 each, another gift of 50, another of 10, another of 5, and another of 10, £785. So that was quite good going just in a couple of days. Then some children gave us some coins, totaling £7.40. We received gifts from 3 of our church, 4 of our churches, £100 from our church in Portadown, £100 from our church in Oma, £100 from our church in Dungannon, and £200 from the Martyrs Memorial. And Dr. Paisley assures me there's more to follow, so that's something to look forward to. And then the congregation, ladies and families of the congregation, gave to help out with the catering today, and that money totaled £272.
So that means we're starting off today with £3,009.40, so we've only 7,000 to go, and I'm sure we'll be able to make that. Now, there will be tea after the service. Everyone is invited to stay. We trust that you'll not go away. There's an abundant supply, and we trust that you'll stay and enjoy the food and the fellowship. Now, before I sit down, I was asked to call our clerk of session, Mr. William Gervin. Mr. Gervin's coming now.
It gives me a great pleasure and joy to be here today to perform a very simple task. And I'm sure, as I look around this congregation, many of you have been hoping for this day. And today I would say there's none has been more hopeful and looking forward with greater hope than the Reverend Cranston. For you know, our brother, the Reverend Cranston, has laboured here night and day, particularly in the last number of months. He has been often found here burning the midnight oil. And notwithstanding that, he is still back here again in the morning at 9 a.m. And as a Christian, I have noted that it has not interfered with his preparation of gospel preaching and Bible study lessons. You know, when people are overburdened, they're inclined to forget things that are important. And that is one thing where the Reverend Cranston has not been neglectful. He's always had a good Bible study on the Tuesday night and always a Sunday morning sermon that would go down well anywhere. And we have never been able to slip out early. We have never had an early stop. The sermons have gone on just as usual. Let it be the quarters of an hour or even an hour, Reverend Cranston has preached through to the final Amen. And the congregation felt that we should take note of the Reverend Cranston's labours in this respect. And as a consequence, I have been asked to present him with a very simple gift. It is absolutely no reward for what he has done, but I know that his reward is in heaven. And this is only a mere token of our appreciation of the Reverend Cranston's labours. And some of the congregation noted that the Reverend Cranston had lost some weight. Now, he never was heavy. And
not like Trevor Baxter or the moderator.
But it was beginning to get noticeable in the last couple of weeks, and I know that he has confided in someone that he did lose about a stone and a half, and we pray that very soon he will be able to put this on again. And I know that the work is not over. He has much planned for the weeks ahead. He has missions here, there and yonder. And he is also chairing, leading the mission that's going on here for the next 3 weeks, when Dr. Paisley will be the preacher and the Reverend Ken Elliott will be another evangelist in this gospel campaign. But our brother will be here night by night leading the meetings. And I would just like to call on our brother, the Reverend Cranston, to come forward now and receive this small gift. God bless you, brother. Just another further little job to do, and there's a little girl from the Sabbath school, Miss Suzanne Foster. I'd like her to come forward, please. And also Mrs. Cranston, if she could make her way to the pulpit, please. Just ask. I'm going to ask Suzanne, a member of the Sabbath school, to present this bouquet of flowers to Mrs. Cranston, who also laboured. She was seen here on ladders cleaning the brickwork and doing all sorts of jobs. And you know, there's not many ministers or ministers' wives who do the things that these people have done. They're humble servants of the Lord, and we greatly appreciate their labours in this corner of his vineyard.
to thank Mr. Gervin, our clerk of session, for his kind words. And as I said to the men, just to have the church open was reward enough, but we do thank them sincerely for their thoughtfulness and their kindness. We're now going to take up the offering for the Lord's work. And do please remember the target that we have set. And as we do receive the offering, we're singing the next hymn on our order of service. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. And as we sing this hymn, we'll keep our seats as the stewards wait upon you now for the offering. Dr. Paisley has told me to ask some of the men to bring a basket to the pulpit. There's a lot of money here, so get the basket up quick and we'll sing the fourth verse, Mid Toil and Tribulation.
Thank you.
Amen. Now, just before we took up the offering there, I got word that we were getting £100 from our Cookstown church and £100 from our Macrofelt church. And to all who have given these gifts from our churches and from other sources, we do thank everyone most sincerely once again for their giving. It is very much appreciated. I'd like just to say that our gospel campaign will commence, God willing, tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. And for the first couple of weeks or so, we will have Dr. Paisley along each night, weeknights at 8 o'clock, to preach the gospel of saving grace. And then the other evangelist engaged in the mission, the Reverend Kenneth Elliott from Bethany Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown. Do please come and make the mission known, and come and join with us and remember the mission in your prayers. I'd like also to say that the service today has been recorded, and anyone wishing a copy of the service, you'll be able to get your copy today. You go up to the tape room, the flight of stairs on my left-hand side, and you'll get the tapes there before you leave the building today. You might remember that. Now, we're delighted to have with us this afternoon the clerk of Presbytery, Dr. John Douglas. And we do thank him most sincerely for coming. We're glad to have him. We're going to ask Dr. Douglas to come now and bring greetings from the Presbytery of Ulster.
Well, I have found this a very touching experience, just to be here for this occasion. I think I speak for all the visiting friends who are here when I offer the greetings and the congratulations of all the member churches in our presbytery, the church both at White Abbey and then again at Newton Abbey has had a long history, and I may say a very interesting history come to that. It may be that the White Abbey Church was number 5 in the order of the formation of our churches. I'm just saying that as I speak, and stand to be corrected by someone who may have done their homework a little bit better. But without a doubt, the White Abbey congregation was in there at the very beginning of the history of the Free Presbyterian Church. The early name for the work, of course, as we have indicated, was White Abbey. But with the rather sometimes quaint and interesting history, White Abbey was given other names besides. I think that one of the names that might have been given was Heartbreak House, hardly appreciated by some of you who have joined our churches later on in time. But White Abbey was established down there in the village at a time when money was very hard to come by in the Free Presbyterian Church. I think we've always found that to be the case, but then especially so. Mr. Paisley was always possessed of a great zeal for going ahead in evangelization, and no doubt that the work that has been established here today is owing a great deal to him in those early days. But just at that point in time, he ventured into the purchase of a property without a congregation, and the intention was to try by every means available to interest people in the locality and get them associated with the church. Of course, there were difficulties in payments. The presbytery was rather small, and with the few that were gathered on those occasions, the very disturbing tidings would be delivered that the debt in White Abbey is becoming troublesome again, and these payments have to be made, and there's nobody to pay. Mr. Paisley developed his early gifts for making appeals in those presbyteries, and I remember on one occasion when he worked very, very hard, a few members attending presbytery felt that they had contributed quite liberally in the past, but he had to make yet another sally. And this time, after laboring and laboring successfully, He came away and said to me, "Do you know, brother, that was like pulling teeth there today." But this spiritual dentist was very successful with the extractions, and eventually the money came in bit by bit. But White Abbey might have been given another name as well. It was a proving place for young preachers. Therefore, White Abbey was the hall of apprenticeship. In the Ravenhill Road, the theological hall was situated, but down in White Abbey, the hall of apprenticeship was opened for all comers. Every student and every young minister had to do his spell in White Abbey. I don't know how much the poor people who came had to suffer, because there were many strange and sometimes wonderful sermons. I'm just recalling an instance when there was a visitor from across the water. People had heard of the Free Church, and maybe they didn't think much of the standards in preaching, when there were many other kind offers on the part of some from across the water who intended to come and preach for the ministry, oftentimes in White Abbey itself. I remember one valiant effort being made in White Abbey when a special meeting was arranged just to give this brother some preaching experience. Hardly anybody else in White Abbey would have known about it, but a few people from the few churches that existed, they came along, and this brother opened up at the Epistle to Philemon, and he started to tell about Onesimus, laboring the point that in the past he had been very unprofitable. And I heard someone whisper not too far away from me, maybe not too far away from where I am today either, saying, "Well, here is a brother who's living up to the name, because this is not very profitable either." There's another occasion in the regular service in White Abbey, I think it was. I'm sure the sermon was sharp and right to the point, but it was a warm morning, one of those mornings when it would be quite easy just to doze over for a second. And one brother had been laboring very hard physically, he'd been doing a lot of work, come along to the meeting extremely tired. He got more and more weary as the sermon went on, and gradually the head slipped downwards, and he went off very happily. Of course, he went into a sound sleep, and some people make noises when they sleep, and this brother was no exception. The noise started very gently at first, but loud enough to attract a little attention across the aisle. Then as the sleep developed, the noise got louder, and soon there was a Norton motorbike competing with the preacher. And most of the people were nodding and smiling, and it may have been his wife who was sitting alongside of him. And she determined, "Well, you've gone far enough." So she had a very useful instrument in the sharp point of the elbow, which she sank deftly into his ribs. And immediately he woke up and shouted out in the middle of the service, "I'm up! I'm up!" And everybody in the congregation found out how he got up in the mornings. Every preacher who can date his experience back to the White Abbey days owes a lot to the ministry in that congregation. I remember being sent to White Abbey on one occasion. It was in the middle of the winter. I had to catch a bus. The bus was leaving early in the morning. I had my coat collar up, my scarf well wrapped around to keep out those chilly winds. And although there were a few people about, this lady came across. She wasn't very well dressed, and I soon discovered what her task was. She was out on her rounds begging, and she came along toward the bus stop where I was standing with some others, and she was going to say to me, "Well, can you give me something for this morning?" When she noticed, just behind the scarf that I had well wrapped up around me, the sign of the clerical collar, and instantly she changed her tack, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I thought of the rest of the verse, I shall not want. And there was a contradiction between her profession and her activity. But let me just say how pleased I am to be here. This is a tremendous day. I'm thankful for all those years, for the difficult times and the trials, sometimes the disappointments too. But God has honored the witness in this part of the country. He has blessed the ministry. We're thankful for the ministry of all the men who have labored in the White Abbey and Newton Abbey district, and especially we're thankful for the ministry of Brother Krantz. Tribute has been paid to him in his labors already. But I think it's fitting, and I speak for the presbytery, just to mention in what high esteem we hold our brother. We're thankful to the Lord for the gift that he has been given in the ministry, for his zeal and vision likewise in evangelism, his burden for the salvation of souls. It's a great thing to have in the leadership of the house of God a man of prayer, a man of vision, a man whose main task it is to lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus. Here is a man who believes the whole book, who preaches Christ, who believes in the old-fashioned gospel, who's praying earnestly, not only for souls to be saved, but for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival. Maybe in some way, the mantle of the Reverend William Rogers, a preacher in White Abbey of the last century, maybe in some way, the mantle of that great giant and labors for God has fallen upon the Lord's servant here. I think there's a spiritual continuity. Rogers wrote a very useful tract. He always had a burden for revival. He was a tremendous preacher, a man with a continuing passion for the lost. And when he was on his pastoral rounds, visitation in White Abbey, it was a frequent thing for some people to be seen climbing out the back windows of the house to escape. A man whose visit meant inevitably that the challenge of Christ would come to them. There were some people so afraid of that soul-winning minister that they had to make good their escape. There are a few men like that today. When Rogers preached, having come from the Castlereagh and the Knock area, in days when there was no public transport, people on a Sunday morning walked all those miles to White Abbey to hear that mighty man of God preach the word. God give us back those days again in Ulster for his name's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Douglas, for his words, and his certainly kind and gracious words. We do thank him sincerely. Just could I remind you, of course, of our ordinary Sabbath day services, commencing with our Sabbath school in the morning at 10, morning worship 11:30, and then, of course, the mission in the afternoon at 3:30, and then we will be having our usual evening gospel service at 7 o'clock, and God willing, I'll be here to minister the word at both services, morning and evening, tomorrow. Do please remember the seasons of prayer before the services. Our prayer room for the prayer meetings before our services, just a little room out in the left-hand corridor here for any of our own congregation or anyone else wishing to come and join with us for prayer tomorrow. We're going to ask the Reverend William McCrae now to come and to sing for us, please.
Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, O Moses Christ. God parted the water and they crossed to the other. ever again. When it seems all is lost, God reaches down His hand. Then all the forces of evil have to flee at God's command. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again. We'll never bow to your idols, the Hebrew children proclaim. So the King gave His mighty command, throw them into the flame. The King said, did not we cast three men into the furnace of fire? I see four men walking around, it's the Lord, He's leading them higher. For God delivers again, oh yes, my God delivers again. When it seems all is lost, God reaches down His hand, and all the forces of evil have to flee at God's command. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again.
For coming and ministering to us today in song. It has been a real blessing to have our brother, Reverend McCrae, with us and to hear him again minister in song. I should also point out that our service today is being videoed also, and if you'd like maybe to place an order for a video recording of this service, you can do so in the tape room, once again up the stairs on my left-hand side. Now, we're delighted today, and we certainly count it an honour to have with us here in Utanabe again the moderator of our church, Dr. Paisley. We love our brother dearly in the Lord. We thank God for him and indeed all that he has been to us here in Utanabe, and he's certainly been an inspiration to this congregation. And we're delighted that he's been able to join with us today. No church opening would be complete without the moderator of our church. We're delighted to have him. We welcome today in the Lord's name, and we pray now that God will give God's servant power as he preaches the word.
I wonder, would you please note the time that I got on to speak? It's now almost a quarter past five. So, dear, don't you be going away and saying Ian Paisley had us at a service, and we started at 3:30 and we got out at 7:00. Don't you say that, because that wouldn't be accurate nor to the truth. And then, of course, the clerk of session gave me great encouragement, for he told me that the minister preaches right through to the amen, so I intend to do that as well. But I'm only starting at 5:15. They said that they would serve you tea. Well, it will be supper when you get it, so you may be sure of that. It is a great thrill for me to be here. Some of the brethren were saying how they looked forward to this opening. No one looked forward to it more than I did. And I rejoice with our dear brother, his wife and family, and the whole church family in what has been accomplished here. Our brother, Bobby Cathcart, gave me a very interesting document when I came in today. It is the order of service for the opening. in 1953, a White Abbey Free Presbyterian Church. And the list of the services, and a very youthful looking Ian Paisley, I wish he was as youthful looking today, on that. And the fact that George Hutton was dedicated at that service as a lay agent of the church. We're delighted that Mrs. Hutton is able to be with us today. We do welcome her to the service. And we thank God for the others who were with us on that occasion. And it has been a long, hard road to this day, but it has been a road in which we have known the leading of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And the harder the road, the greater the victory at the end of the road. And we're certainly celebrating a victory today as we see this magnificent complex of buildings opened here, as we look forward with joy to preaching the gospel in this place. And I believe that that text, a text that was with all our churches at the beginning, I remember Miss Marjorie McCauley giving me that text in regard to our Cabra Church. Though the beginnings may be small, the latter end will greatly increase. And God has been doing that all over our province in our churches. And to His name alone may all the glory be. So I'm going to ask you to stand on. We're going to sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and for why the Lord our God is good. That'll rest you as you stand, and then you will be able to sit through to supper time. Let's stand while we sing it. Amen. Prayer. Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving to Thee. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And we praise Thee for what Thou hast done. We have been very unfaithful, but Thou hast been very faithful, and Thy mercy have been new to us every morning. And as we look over the past, we can bless the hand that guided, and we can bless the heart that planned. We thank Thee for sinners saved, many of them now in the glory land, singing the praises of God in heaven's everlasting light. We thank Thee, our God, for those here today that have been saved as a result of the preaching. And we bless Thee that God is with us. We have witnessed Emmanuel amongst us, God with us. Take all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. We would give it to Thee, for it is Thou that hast done the work. And we bless Thee for giving us the privileges of being co-laborers, of being workers together with our wonderful God. Oh, take our thanks for daring to employ us, such unprofitable servants, in this great task of the gospel ministry. Make this house, as has already been prayed, a converting shop within a yard of hell. We don't want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. Lord, help me run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Oh God, make this the cradle of a great reviving. Make this the place where God shall put his honor. May the Shekinah rest upon preacher and people. And may this be a place where that man and that woman was born there. And in the great day of reckoning, may the name of this place be repeated time and time again as the records of the birth of the saints and the genealogy of God are called forth at that great day. Oh, be with us now, we pray. Bless in the forthcoming evangelistic drive. Make it a drive indeed to bring sinners to Christ. And soon shall we hear the cry of newborn babes in this house. Soon shall we hear the shout of the redeemed of the Lord. Soon shall we hear the greater shout of the King amongst us, the King in his salvation. So to this end now, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God say, amen.
Those words of old Bishop Taylor Smith, this bed is an altar, this body is a sacrifice. Oh, see me on that altar lay. My life, my all, this very day, to crown the offering, now I pray, Lord, send the fire. Bonner said, the first thing I do is I get down on my knees and thank God that I have another day to live for Jesus Christ. The first writing that my eyes light on is the Word of God. The first person I hold converse with before I meet the world is my Savior and my Lord. And I tell you, friend, it's lost among the people of God today. Lost. That's why we haven't the power and the blessing and the victory and the revival that we so much need. Praising Christian. All right, you can measure the felicity of your life by the praises of your prayers. You can measure the integrity of your love by the answers to your prayer. Are you getting answers to prayer? Are you? Real answers. Did you pray for things this week that you needed? And did you get the answer? Did you? Do you know anything about rejoicing this week over definite petitions offered to God and answered? Or has prayer become a charade, a form of words, and you do it out of mere duty? And it's like the staff of the prophet laid in the dead child, and there's no life, nor any voice, nor any that answer. Oh, my friend, we had better look at our prayer life. We'd better have a real look at it. Because God is saying to us today, I'm going to measure the integrity of your love. Is it real love? Do you draw near to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me, do you? Because if you don't regard iniquity in your heart, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. So if your love is real love, and you're not flirting with the world, you're not flirting with the devil, you're not flirting with the flesh. I was preaching last Sunday about filling the valley full of ditches. And God needs us to go down into that dusty, dark valley of our heart and dig it up. Dig up the fallow ground. You think of 100,000 soldiers all digging in a dusty valley with the sun splitting the heaven. You'd say, what's the use of that? We'll lose any waters in our bodies. We'll all be dehydrated. We'll lie down and die. And God says, fill
this valley full of ditches. Bring up the fallow ground.
The spade goes into your life. What would it turn up today? What's in the hidey hole, friend, of your life? Come on, Christian. What is it that keeps you from having a love that can stand up to the scrutiny of God?
And your prayers are not answered. Remember a great sermon that W.P. Nicholson preached upon the problem of our prayer life. And we have all got that problem, let's face it. And we've got the secret here in this chapter. If you love me, if you let my love take over your life, you'll obey. You'll keep my command. Finally, the spirituality of your love is measured by the selflessness of your prayer. How many of our prayers are selfish? How many of our prayers are for things that we want to possess, to burn them on our own lusts? You turn over to the epistle of James, and we read there about prayer, and we read about people who ask and they receive not because they ask amiss. If any man lack wisdom, verse 5 of James 1, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it says here, as we go down the chapter, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God does not give us selfish gifts. He gives us those gifts that wipe out self and bring in Christ in all his fullness. Like John the Baptist, he must increase. I must decrease. There are many people who preach against the truth of separation. They tell us that we don't need to be separate. If you're in a church that's in the ecumenical movement, they say stay in it and pray for revival. If you're in a church that's tied up to a denomination that's polluted and corrupted, they say stay in. It's God's will for you to stay in. If you go out, you'll become narrow. If you separate, you'll become narrow. But if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you'll find what Paul says about this. And this I'll close. Verse 11. Maybe get an amen for that now when we're closing. I have a fellow, and every time I say in my church, I'm now going to close, he says, amen. And man, he's happy. That's the only joy he has. Let me say this. 6th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our heart, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. The man that obeys God doesn't get narrow. His boundaries don't go in. They go out. Paul's heart was enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us. Ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense to the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And how do I become enlarged? I become enlarged when I break the yoke. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's nothing limits the child of God like the unequal yoke. And until that yoke is smashed and broken, the love of Christ can dwell in your heart in all its fullness. There's a denominational tie with a church and the World Council of Churches, or in the ecumenical movement, or having talks with unity with Rome. You should shout out, get out, and stay out. Amen. What the Bible says, not what I say. And if you don't, your soul will be shriveled up. You'll become narrow. And I have watched men. I have watched them down through the years. I used to pray with men every Monday in Berry Street, Vestry. And I watched them. And the day came when they should have separated, said goodbye to apostasy. And they didn't. And their ministries were blighted. Some of them, God took them home. They died young. People said very sad about that preacher. He died very young. I could tell you why he died young. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if you would judge all yourselves, you should not be judged. And others took the other road and went further and further into apostasy. And today they're flirting with popery and sitting with priests and colluguing with cattle dealing and the rest of that ungodly cage of filthy ecclesiastical birds. And if that's not strong enough, I'll make it a bit stronger for you. Let me tell you something. Their ministry used to tell me, Paisley, your ministry will be very limited. And I said, my ministry will be as wide as God wants it. No wider. And I used to lecture Mr. Cook and Dr. Douglas, and I used to say to them, you'll never preach to crowds, but we're going to live in a hot atmosphere. We're going to, our hand is be like Ishmael. We'll be against everybody. Everybody will be against us. But boy, we'll preach it, whether we like it or not. And if God wants to increase the congregation, hallelujah. But that's not my business. I have not to rejoice because I preach to a number of people. I have to rejoice because my name is written in heaven. And that will not alter. And not to rejoice because big, fat children of Beelzebub, I mean devils, are subject to me. I have to rejoice because God chose me from all eternity, and I can alter that. Amen. Wrote my name in life's book forever and said to the angel, do you see that fellow there? When he's born, the Holy Ghost going to go after him. And one day he's going to come to my son. All that the Father giveth me shall come to him, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes. Be enlarged. How do you be enlarged? Enlarged by cutting these yokes. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I really laughed today, opened the paper, and I saw a colleague of mine, an MP, and he was down at the Roman Catholic Mass House in Hollywood that was burned. He was strutting around with all these ecclesiastical blackbirds. And I laughed. And I said, when Arbam Bridge Church was blown up by the IRA, not one minister of the time. What? Oh, some fine evangelicals, emphasis on the general, came and said, brother, we're sorry for your trouble. Not one. I remember when my wife was straight to Belfast, an evangelical Presbyterian minister said to his people, I'm sorry the stone did in the head and not. I want to tell you, friend, when things happen like that, there's no people strutting around. If this church was burned in the morning, Jim Kilfedder and the Blackbirds wouldn't to say, we'll help you out. Not likely. You know what they'll be doing? They'll be rubbing their hands and saying, thank God, that place is out of existence. I just want to tell you, friend, that there's no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. I don't want any fellowship with them anyway. Those people would sicken you before you'd be out of bed. And they would sicken you when you get out of bed. And they would sicken you when you're ready for bed at night. Yes. I want to tell you, friend, we need to be enlarged. Yes. What communion of light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Wherefore, come out from among them. When God says come out, he doesn't mean stay in. This Bible, you know, means what it says. And it says when God says come out, he means come out and be yourself. And touch not. To touch is to put the tip of your fingers on it. But these people have their arms right. They've embraced. We're not to touch the unclean. Now where will I go? As I often say, I meet people in the, but I don't like, where would I, and nobody asked me. I said, I have trouble with the people God sends me. And I don't want a bunch of rascals that God didn't send me. I have more trouble. And I have enough trouble, God. You know who you come out to? I don't come out to a denomination. I will receive you. That's what happened 36 years ago in White Abbey. A few people who were kind of the off-scouring of all things. And I remember a Presbyterian minister said, Paisley's head should be examined, should be locked up and produced the result. I'd rather be dummy. There's plenty of them around. If you don't know them, I'll give you their names and addresses. It's longer than the telephone book. Let me tell you something. He says, I will receive you. That's what God did to a little struggling people at White Abbey. And he says, I will be a father unto you. Man, God has been our father. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. Notice it. Saith the Lord Almighty. That's the El Shaddai. The God who is enough. Don't need anything more. Do you want to be enlarged today? Cut the shorelines, friend. Obey the word of God. If you love me, keep my commandment. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's bow our heads for a moment. We're going to sing as our heads are bowed the verse that Willie sung for us. And I wasn't talking to him. He didn't know what I was going to be preaching about, but he sung the right hymn. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Let's make it the prayer of our heart. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, blood-washed child of God, that today we'll open our hearts for the flood stream of love. We'll let the love of Jesus Christ, its height, its depth, its length and breadth that passeth knowledge and all understanding, we'll let it flood into our hearts. Open our hearts today and fill us with pure Calvary love. I want, dear Lord, a love that's true and clean.
I want, dear Lord, a heart that's pure. I want, dear Lord, a life that's holy. Oh, God, let the love of God do this work within us. Resolutions, mere decisionism, it's a sham. Not make us any better. But only go out and break the resolution and go back to the beggarly elements. But thank God if the love of God sweeps our heart. Then we'll be a different people. This will be a different church. As ministers will be different. As people will be different. As a church will be different. Fired, constrained, impassioned, baptized with Calvary love. Oh, do it in our lives, do it in our hearts, and start the prayer fires of burning throughout our province for Jesus' sake. And everybody say, amen. Amen.
Turning now to our closing hymn of our service. Once again, the words of this hymn certainly tie in with Dr. Paisley's message, especially the second verse, O Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams of earth I have tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Truly we can say God has been in this place today. We thank God for God's servant and His word preached with great power. Remind you again that this service has been recorded on tape and also in video. If you'd like to acquire any or both of these tapes, go to the tape room after the service. The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. We'll stand to sing Rutherford's great and tremendous hymn. Of everyone singing. special day. Well, we certainly want to make the most of it. Now, just before the Reverend Irwin comes and closes in prayer, just want to give you our offering for today. The offering itself, there was cash come in to the total of £3,114.25. Also in the offering, checks totaling £2,000. This gives us an offering taken up today of £5,114.25. We've also received two interest-free loans, one of £700 and one of £10,000, which means that our offering today came to £18,371.85. And to God be all the glory. Amen. For His goodness, this is a remarkable offering, perhaps even more remarkable. Whenever we consider that our own last two building fund offerings in our own church came to over £20,000, and then the £18,000 odd today, and we give God all the praise and all the honour and all the glory. Amen. For His goodness and kindness to this people and to this congregation. And we do thank everyone here today for coming and for your generous giving to the work of the Lord. We're now going to ask a friend and colleague in the ministry, the Reverend Derek Irwin, the minister of our Six Mile Cross congregation, now to come and to close the meeting in prayer.
Let's all seek the face of the Lord. Our loving God and gracious Father, we thank Thee that prayer has been answered today. God has been in our midst in all of His fullness and in His power. We've been like Jacob of old, we've been to the very gate of heaven. We've been blessed, we've been encouraged through Thy servant and by the word of God. And our hearts are glad that we've been to the cross. Amen. We've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can read our titles clear to mansions in the sky. We can thank God today that we can truly say, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. We thank Thee, loving God, for Thy faithfulness in the past. We praise Thee for every man and woman and young person who stood for God in this part of the country. We thank Thee for this day and for the offerings and for the power and God and the encouragement received from the word of God. And our Father, we pray for the future. We pray, dear God, that Thou wilt bless Thy servant as he faithfully proclaims the word of God in this place. We pray that he might be like Joshua of old, who took the sword and went out to fight the Lord's enemies. We thank Thee as he did so. Moses was on high praying for him. And we pray our God, as our brother preaches the word of God faithfully, help him always to have his eyes upon the greater Moses in heaven, who's praying for him. Lord, we thank Thee for the increase that Thou hast given, but we pray, our God, in days to come, that many more might come, separate themselves from the apostasy of this age, and stand outside the camp in Newton Abbey for the glory of the Saviour's name. And we pray that many, many souls will be the slain of the Lord, that might come to taste and see that the Lord is good. We pray that even today, if there should be a man or woman or young person yet without Christ, even now, by Thy Holy Spirit, fully convince them of their need to turn, even now, this very moment, and flee from the wrath of God, step out in the promise, and get under the blood, and be washed in the precious crimson tide of the Saviour's blood. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art able to save. The God of Elijah is still upon the throne. And we pray, our God, that Thou wilt bring into Thy family today those such as should be saved. And grant, our God, there might be rejoicing in heaven over those who will seek Thee for salvation today. We pray for this land, our Father, dark days of apostasy and sin. We pray, our God, that this land might be reclaimed again for God through the preaching of the word of God. Send us a mighty breath of the Holy Spirit. Lord, set every preacher in the free church on fire for God. And may we go out and see great things wrought for the Saviour's name. and grant that the fire will ever be kept burning till we meet again. We bless thee, Lord, for coming today. We thank thee that the Lord has blessed our souls. The glory has come. The fire has fallen. God has blessed his people. He has blessed this church. And grant our Father, now as we eat and drink, may we do so to thy glory. And grant our Father that the hand of God will be upon us till we meet again. Accept of our thanks for the good things provided for us. And bless this place in the days that lie ahead. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. And the people of God said, amen. And shout it, hallelujah.